Chris, take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. I'm Jason Fitz. Let's get you started with the headlines that you need to know. And we'll start with a little MLS action. LAFC forward, I should say, Carlos Vela, is out of the MLS's back tournament. He's opted against flying with his teammates to Orlando. A league source with knowledge of the situation has confirmed this to ESPN. He is the reigning MLS MVP, but his wife is pregnant, has long been unlikely to participate in the tournament, but now we know it is official. He will not be there. Speaking of opting out, the Braves' Nick Markakis has opted out after talking to Freddie Freeman. The 36-year-old said he was uneasy about playing the season without fans and then was swayed by a telephone conversation with teammate Freddie Freeman, who has tested positive for COVID-19 and has fever and other symptoms. A quote, just hearing him, the way he sounded on the phone, it was tough. It was kind of eye-opening. With everything that's going on, not just with baseball all over the world, it makes you open your eyes. So another opt-out there, as we may continue to see more of those across the landscape of sports. And lastly, on your headlines you need to know, Colin Kaepernick will be featured in an exclusive docuseries presented by ESPN Films as part of a first-look deal with the Walt Disney Company. The deal between Cap's production arm and Disney was announced Monday. Partnership will focus on telling scripted and unscripted stories that explore race, social justice, injustice, I should say, and the quest for equality. It will also provide a platform to showcase the work of minority directors and producers. Those are your headlines. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. All of our guests and you can hang out with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got a lot we're going to get into today. We've got a variety of conversations to be had, but I did want to talk to you guys since I was off last week doing other things. I had a little time off. Then I was on Golic and Wingo Friday. We obviously haven't had the opportunity to chat together about everything that's going on with the Washington football team. So I've gone ahead and put up a poll on Twitter at Jason Fitz, and I want to get your thoughts on it. What do you root for? Is it the city name? Is it the brand, the logo? Is it the colors? What is it that draws you to your favorite team? If any of it changes, are you out? I think perspective here matters a little bit, and I've said this before. I grew up a Raiders fan. I grew up in Las Vegas as a little kid, a Raiders fan, the L.A. Raiders. They moved to Oakland when I was in high school. So when they moved to Oakland, I was like, oh, fine. I don't really care about the city. I wasn't an L.A. fan. I'm a Raiders fan. Now that team heads to Vegas, it becomes even easier for me. Can I tell you, though, that if the team had moved to San Antonio and become the San Antonio Wrestlers, that I still would have been a fan of the team? I don't know. I don't think so. So I find it interesting. We all root for different things. Are you rooting for the city? Are you rooting for the nickname? Are you rooting for the brand or the colors? I want your thoughts on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's the way you get in on it. 888-729-3776. That's how you can hang out. You can also vote on a poll I've got out there at Jason Fitz on Twitter. Let's start the show, not with that, but with some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless runs on the same network for up to 50% less. Get the unlimited plan, up to 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for only $45 a month. No contract. Straight Talk Wireless, no contracts, no compromise. Are there going to be compromises in Orlando? It's a difficult conversation when you start talking about the athletes that now realize that there's the possibility they have to go back to work. And at this point, they've been asked to go back to work. J.J. Redick talked about players and their discomforts, particularly playing in Orlando.
So to say that we have like any sort of comfort level would be a lie. There is no comfort level.
Right.
We're not with our families. We're not at our homes. We're isolated in a bubble in the middle of a hot spot in the middle of Florida. While there's social unrest going on in the country, and we're 3 months away from potentially the most important election in our lifetime.
Now that's what J.J. Redick had to say about it. The question is it fair to ask players to play under these circumstances? There's a really interesting debate. I'll give you my take in just a minute. I don't know that I've heard a take from Stephen A. that I think he's more wrong about than this one. Stephen A., Dominique Foxworth, and Jay Williams had the debate of whether or not it's fair to ask players to play under these circumstances.
The reality of the situation is that I've said this on many, many occasions, not to shove aside the issue and the importance of safety. I don't know how many times that I have to say that. Wear your damn mask. Put on some gloves. engage in social distancing. You don't need to be in each other's faces, okay? Stop being stupid for the folks out there who are being stupid and selfish because you're endangering other lives by acting irresponsibly. But ultimately, what it comes down to is that we have an economy. We have an economy. You can't lay at home and wait for the government to pay your bills, to give you a check. They're not going to do it. Even when they passed a $2.8 trillion stimulus package because of the global pandemic taking hold of this country, and then they added an additional $500 billion, still people got $1,200 checks. Well, how much? I'm sure that's going to help some people in our society, make no mistake about it. But there's millions upon millions upon millions of people that's going to do close to absolutely nothing for. And so when you have that as a reality, and you know that the players themselves are not the only ones employed by the league, even though it's a partnership, and we understand that, you take away the exorbitant salaries of the superstars and then think about the players in the league, the hundreds of them who actually need their checks. Think about the hundreds of employees who actually need their check. Think about the businesses that are patronized. Think about how a sports league stimulates local economies and a national economy. All of those things are things that have to be taken into consideration. It's not just about games, and that's the thing that drives me crazy. And I'm not talking about players, because I certainly get where J.J. Redick is coming from, and I completely agree with him. I'm not pointing my finger at the players at all. I'm just addressing those who have this mentality. Oh, my goodness, the health of folks are at risk just to play a game. It's not just a game. To thousands upon thousands of people, if not millions of people, that the games actually affect economically and monetarily. And we just need to put on our big boy and big girl pants, grow up and accept that reality, because it's in a reality that's not going anywhere. It's not a popular thing to say, but I'm not trying to be popular. I'm trying to be real. And I'm telling you, that's the reality of the situation. It's inescapable, and we all just need to accept that.
Yeah, it's funny because I don't really disagree with very much of what you said, but I still disagree with the fundamental question. I think it's not fair. And you're right. Sometimes you got to put on your big boy pants and big girl pants and deal with some unfairness. As anyone who is a parent knows, kids talk about all the time. It's not fair. It's not fair. I say to them, life's not fair. Like, that's what you have to deal with. But I think that it's wrong to say that other people have to go to work, so the players have to go to work. I think the people, because I know, like, my friends who are lawyers and my friends who have office jobs, they aren't going to work. They are not. They're at home. They're working from home. The people who do have to go to work are doing some things that are essential. Like, these are people who are working in our fulfillment centers for Amazon so that we can continue to get things. People who are delivering our groceries. People who are working at grocery stores. People who are working in hospitals. Like, those people have to go to work. And while I understand your point, Stephen A., that this game means so much more than just a game, like, the fact of the matter is, this isn't essential. It helps us all. We all love it. We like the entertainment. It gives us something to do. And I agree that there are people around these teams who don't make a lot of money and need this opportunity or need an opportunity to make more money. So I'm not trying to say that it's about the athletes necessarily. It's about the big money. I understand that it has wide-ranging impact. But this ain't essential. So I think J.J. Redick is right. It is unfair to ask those guys to go in there. But I would say to that, like, life's unfair, and you have the opportunity to say, I don't want to go. They cannot go. Many players have decided not to go for various reasons. Some of it is because of family concerns, and some of it's because of the COVID-19 pandemic. But I do think that fundamentally, asking them to play is not fair. Adam Silver said he's going to be in and out of the bubble. I don't think too many team owners are going to be quarantined up in the bubble. Like, so it's not fair to send the players into a hot spot, a coronavirus hotspot in Florida, so that we can keep this game going. They could choose to do it. I'm sure they benefit from it. I'm sure most players want to do it and not have it and not miss an opportunity this season. But it's not fair to ask them to expose themselves. That we don't even understand this disease yet. There's new information coming out every day. I just learned this morning that it's not even a respiratory disease. It's a blood disease that it can impact all of your organs, not just your lungs. We don't know anything about it. And asking people to go out and work in the midst of it, it's not fair to the people who work in fulfillment centers, and it's not fair to basketball players either.
You know, Neek, let me be additive to that. You know, if we were 5-6 years out and we had data that supported, you know, what the end answer was, I think that would help us with a better assessment. But you're absolutely right. We don't know. And Stephen A., back to your line. You know, I've heard you on the show multiple times talk about the economy. You know, when you compare health to the economy. Let me say this, and I really want you to hear me, Stephen A., on this one. Protecting health is not getting in the way of economic recovery, okay? Protecting health is the route to economic recovery. So there are levels of unfairness all the way around on this one for a lot of people. I hear exactly what you're saying. But if you're talking about the level of unfairness to go to a bubble where the NBA, who has mass resources, and they're trying to find a way to do this correctly, and it still seems like they are figuring this out on the fly. Like, yeah, I feel bad for NBA guys to disappoint. I feel even worse for people who are doing the essential things, for all these other companies that are trying to turn profits, and they don't even go to the same levels of stress that the league is going to protect their employees. I mean, so yeah, there are levels of unfairness, and I don't like this whole conversation all the way around. And for anybody that just wants to say, well, everybody has to go to work, yeah, I hear you guys on that, but we don't have all the data to support what the end game will be. And we're still assessing this thing on the fly. So I hear it. To go back to the question again that Neek said, I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair for anybody.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. I hear Stephen A., and I heard Stephen A. live today, and I was yelling in my car just like you were when I heard him talking about the fact that he doesn't think that this will be held against players. I have a hard time acknowledging that this is the one time that sports history and sports talking heads and sports fans will maintain context. Like, you think about what it means, and yes, for some players, it won't be held against them. If you're a fringe player that's looking to grow in the league, can you honestly say that you're certain that the ask won't, if you refuse the ask, that there'll be no repercussions to it? And even bigger, I would ask Stephen A., if you're LeBron and you suddenly decide, or a player of his caliber, that you're not comfortable with the variables presented by COVID-19, you want to tell me this is the one time the player of LeBron's stature could stand up and say, guys, I'm just not comfortable with it, and suddenly everybody would say, oh, yeah. Yeah, I get it. Suddenly everybody remember context. The one thing that's difficult about these conversations we have about legacy is that we forget what was going on in the moment. We forget who was involved in the moment. We forget everything outside of other than just whether or not a person has a championship or not. And you want to tell me that if LeBron took the opportunity to say, you know what, I'm not comfortable with the variables, decided to sit out, and then we had a full playoff that no one could predict, but nothing went wrong, and the Lakers didn't win the championship, that suddenly people wouldn't be trashing LeBron? There's a real spot here where you want to say, hey, I want to believe that there be no consequence. I want to believe that it could happen and it would be fine and it would be fair and everybody would handle it the right way. I want to believe that that's the way things would work. But we're not stupid. Come on. I mean, we've seen this so many times. We forget that hindsight's 20/20. So no matter what happens here, players that decide not to come back, if there are no issues, there will be head scratching. That's because that's the way we work in this cycle of talking about sports, in the cycle of analyzing sports, in the cycle of trying to figure out what everything means. And it cannot just be about what's here right now. The real conversation that the bubble is going to present is going to be one of legacy. And that's unavoidable because there are certain athletes, LeBron being at the top of the list, that constantly have their legacy examined. They constantly have their legacy explored, and they constantly have their legacy debated. To say that great players could simply opt out, not because of family health issues, but because they're not comfortable with it, and then have no recourse, allows the other side of this conversation to be there, where suddenly, as a media, we're going to be patient, and we're going to be calm, and we're going to be controlled, and everybody's going to be rational in understanding context and what they say as they say it. I don't think that's possible because I've never seen it from all of us collectively in the past. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio. I want to get the thoughts on this and all things NBA from our ESPN NBA reporter, Tim Bontemps. Tim, thanks so much for your time. I hope, most importantly, that you and yours are safe. We really appreciate that you come on and give us your expertise. So when Stephen A. says that a player can simply sit out because they're not comfortable and there won't be recourse, what's your reaction?
Well, I mean, the NBA has already kind of said that that's the way it's going to be. I mean, they're not going to penalize any players beyond not paying them for the games that they miss in the agreement that they came to with the union to restart the league. And in doing so, I think they've acknowledged that this is a pretty difficult situation for everybody involved. And it's a very personal choice that people have to make, whether they have concerns about the virus or they have concerns about you know, what's going on in the country at the moment, or, you know, they have family members who they're concerned about, you know, like Avery Bradley's, you know, his son has respiratory issues. He's worried about that. Willie Cauley-Stein isn't going because his wife's about to have his partner's about to have a child. I mean, there's a lot of different reasons why guys would, have second thoughts about having to go into a bubble for 3.5 months potentially. And I think the league has given everyone the space to make the choice that's best for them and you know, be able to deal with the circumstances that that come as a result of whatever those choices are.
So a couple of counters to that, Tim, because I love having this debate. You know, at some point, Jay Williams pointed out in the debate today that an ask isn't always an ask. So, I mean, realistically, if ESPN goes to Scott Van Pelt and asks him to do something that he doesn't want to do, he's not going to do it. If ESPN comes to me and asks me to do something that I don't want to do, I'm going to do cartwheels and do it because I'm still trying to get to a certain level of platform. I mean, the ask itself, even from a team level, do you believe that everybody, no matter their platform, no matter what is in front of them, will not be treated differently by teams, even in contracts or future negotiations, if they simply come back and say they're not comfortable?
I mean, honestly, I don't really think so. I mean, I don't think Avery Bradley's not going to get another contract. I don't think he's going to be penalized in a future contract because he chose not to play in the Orlando bubble. I think the same goes for Willie Cauley-Stein and these other guys who are choosing whether or not to go there. I mean, obviously the NBA, you know, works in a way that superstar players have outsized influence compared to, you know, regular players. But I don't think that that's quite germane to this. I mean, I think that everybody understands that this is a very, you know, hopefully singular situation and that we're not going to have to do something like this again. And there's, you know, like I said, that's why the league and the Players Association have, you know, kind of built into this agreement process for everybody to go through if people decide that they're not able to go play for, you know, whatever reason that they have. I mean, I think that's why everybody's kind of settled on it. And I don't think that, you know, like Davis Bertans, for example, is going to be a free agent. He's torn his ACL twice in the past. He's concerned about, you know, potentially risking his first real big payday as an NBA player. And the Wizards are on board with that in part because they would like to sign him this fall and keep him as part of their team. So I really think that everybody is trying to look at this as fairly and objectively as they can across the league. And I would be very surprised if anybody was penalized for a personal decision they made to not go play in what everybody agrees is a pretty difficult circumstance down here in Orlando.
We're talking to ESPN NBA reporter Tim Bontemps. Obviously, at this point, Tim, we are seeing everybody in the bubble has now become so real. Once players get in there, if they decide at that point that it's just too much and it's just too much anxiety or uncomfort level for them as individuals, how's that get handled at that point?
I think that's something that the league is just going to have to keep working on with the players as this thing plays out, right? I mean, we've now seen 7 teams have to shut down facilities at different points because of the virus. You know, there's just so much stuff going on in so many different parts of life that, you know, I think everybody is at least in agreement that this is going to be a group process to get through it on both sides. And I think that's why you've seen basketball get, you know, even though this thing hasn't gotten off the ground yet, I think that the path to getting there has been much smoother than in baseball and some of these other sports where the league and the players are more at odds. I think both the leadership of the Players Association and the leadership of the league, you know, Chris Paul, Michelle Roberts on the player's side and Adam Silver on the owner's side have done a really good job of trying to keep everybody involved and trying to come up with solutions that don't benefit one side or the other, but benefit everybody. And I think that's at least given the NBA a chance of pulling this thing off, despite, you know, everything that's going on both with the virus and everything else in the world right now.
I think, Tim, you make a great point when you say a chance too, because Adam Silver's been very honest that nothing at this point is set in stone. So for the league, as they continue to evaluate this every single day, have you been able to get a sense of where the sort of breaking point will be, how much water they can take before the dam breaks on this?
I don't think they have a firm answer on that. And I think in part, Jason, that's because they want to try to give themselves the flexibility to kind of see how things go as this thing plays out. You know, I think it's really just going to come down to, you know, are they able to successfully navigate keeping this virus outside of the bubble? I mean, I think these next couple weeks, really the next week to 10 days, I think are really critical. This team start to go to Orlando. If everybody can get inside the bubble and they can start practicing and as they're testing every day, they don't have an outbreak inside the bubble and they're able to have it be clean for, you know, the next 10 days, say, I think the league has a pretty good chance of being able to get through this thing with, you know, minimal transmission inside it, just based off of, you know, this is getting everybody into the bubble is the most critical time when it can get in there. And it's the most vulnerable time for trying to seal something like this off. So, you know, if the league can't successfully get this thing up and running without the virus getting in, then I think their chances of doing this will go up quite a bit. If we have a situation like what's happened with MLS, where, you know, they got the teams inside the bubble, and the FC Dallas had, I think, 6 or 7 positive tests, and a couple other teams had positive tests, then I think you could be in a situation where it's a little more dicey. But, you know, look, I think the only thing that we know for sure at this point is that everybody is just simply trying to get through each day and get on to the next day. And, you know, the league right now is just trying to, you know, figure out the plan for the next couple of days, get everybody down to Orlando and see where things go. And, you know, hopefully for their sake, they can get, you know, things up and running, and the NBA can come back on July 30th and games can start, and, you know, they could successfully avoid having any real issues with it.
Tim, I look forward to the day that you're coming on and we're talking about who's playing what and how it's all going. So thanks so much for, as always, your expertise through all these strange times, my friend. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
First Take Your Take brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life. We'll keep breaking it down. And look, I'll take your thoughts on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got a lot to get into. We'll continue to break that down. But coming up, how much pressure is on Dan Snyder to change the team name before the season actually starts? You'll hear what First Take had to say about that. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. It ain't game day, but you can still feast like it is. Meet Church's new $5 campfire smokehouse chicken. Our fan favorite with the new campfire flavor, plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Church's, bringing that down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations. First Take, Your Take, presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys can hang out with us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Getting a lot of conversation, obviously, about the Washington football team name. We're going to get some insight on it in just a second. But I'm asking you guys, what do you root for your favorite team? Doesn't matter the sport. What do you root for? Is it the city name? Is it the logo? Is it the brand name, in essence? I mean, what can change that you would still root for your favorite team? And maybe the answer is nothing, but, you know, what can change that you'd still go in for? I want to get a little of your take before we get to our experts. Mark in Cincinnati. Mark, what do you got? What's your take?
Hey, Jason, appreciate you taking my call. Love the show, and I appreciate you doing what you do, especially during these tough times. So when you initially asked the question, my dad and my dad's family are big Eagles fans. So I was born and raised a big Eagles fan. So when you initially asked the question, the easy answer for me was, you know, if the city location changed, you know, that would be a deal breaker for me. But the more I thought about it, the more I, you know, started thinking, you know, I've become over the years super attached to what they've done over there, that what they've built, you know, what Lori and Howie Roseman have done over there, creating the culture they've built. So, you know, while I thought it was, you know, easy to say, well, if they left, I would be done. The more I started thinking about it, the more I was like, well, you know, I've become so attached to that culture. I think even if they did leave, I'd still stick with the team. So again, I appreciate you taking my call. I won't take up too much of your time.
No, thanks for your take on it. And look, this is what gets interesting, because I don't think that there's any universal truth to this. And that's one of the things, the reason I want to ask the question is because I see so many people talking about Washington and saying, you know, they're out. And, you know, if anything changes, they're not going to watch the team or root for the team anymore. And that's very foreign to me because, again, I grew up a Raiders fan. So I've seen the Raiders play in multiple cities. Right now, we put up the poll. I've asked you, what is it you root for and why? Is it city location? Is it brand name? Is it logo colors or any change in your out? 86% of you right now, city or location. That's crazy to me. But I also didn't live anywhere with an NFL team growing up. So we'll continue to take your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. In the meantime, let's head over to the Shell Penzo Performance Line, where ESPN NFL insider Jeff Darlington joins us. Jeff, thanks for the time. Hope you're safe. Obviously, you're down in a hotbed of everything. So hope you and yours are well. When you saw the news for the Redskins team name change start to gain so much momentum so quickly, what was your reaction?
I guess not surprised. I mean, it's interesting that social justice, when you see sort of the momentum build, that it starts to touch all sorts of areas. And I think that that's kind of what we sort of come to expect in a lot of regards. I think what's interesting to me is that, you know, it's the second that the big corporations start to put their names behind it. What's interesting, especially interesting, is that FedEx, when they come out and say that we've been in touch with the Redskins and essentially want to see the name change, it's important to keep in mind that Frederick Smith, the CEO of FedEx, is a minority owner of the Redskins. So it's not like as simple as saying that the namesake of the stadium wants to see the name changed. It's one of the owners, and one of the three owners who hold, they hold a combined 40% stake in the team, and they've since reportedly told the Washington Post that they're interested in selling their part of the team. So it's not just a matter of the wave of protests that's sweeping the country when it comes to social justice. It's also touching some of the big corporations. And when that happens, that to me is the only thing that will scare Dan Snyder enough to potentially make this move.
How significant is it, Jeff, that you have three minority owners in the Washington football team considering or looking to sell their shares?
I mean, I think it's big. We're not able yet to make the connection. You know, it'll be interesting to see if Dan Snyder basically says, you know what, everybody's right, it is time to sell the team. I mean, not to sell the team, to change the name. Perhaps that will keep those investors from deciding that they're ready to sell. I think that Dan Snyder made great headway by moving in a different direction from Bruce Allen, which has proven just not to work. I'm shocked that he's gotten the leash that he has to this point and gone with somebody like Ron Rivera, who is so popular within the NFL circles, so well-liked, so rational, so even-keeled with his mindset and approach to things. So I think that that's a big step. And if Dan Snyder can also make some changes when it comes to the operation of his team, I will be interested to see if perhaps it takes shape to the point where those owners, those 40% owners, wind up maybe changing their team a little bit.
We're talking to ESPN NFL insider Jeff Darlington. So, Jeff, I'm going to go in the weeds here with a little bit too much minutia, but I think this is an important part of this conversation, at least.
Yeah.
When you start talking about naming, whether it's a football team or a band, like the amount of copyright and trademark attorney work that has to be done to figure out even what's available and how you could name your team. I mean, for all of these conversations about the Redskins simply changing their team name, how feasible is it that it's something that could actually be done quickly?
That's a great question. I would be, I mean, if Dan Snyder hasn't even considered, given how long this has been a controversy, don't forget in 2013, Snyder wrote a letter to his fans essentially backing up his sentiment that he wanted to keep the team name, basing it on his childhood affinity for the team, and then backing that up with quote-unquote statistics and a study that he had apparently done to show that Native Americans actually support the team name. If he had gone down that road that far and not started to at least come up with potential alternatives, I would say, I mean, that's crazy to me. So you've got to think that he's at least done some due diligence. Ron Rivera did say that he had a conversation where two names, which he wouldn't disclose, did come up. So to your point, it is a great undertaking to change a team name, given all of the aspects that name touches within the organization. It would just be stunning to me if Snyder, behind the scenes over the past few years, hasn't at least considered some other possibilities along the way.
Let's also consider, Jeff, how much money he's going to make on new merch if they do rename. I mean, there's cash out. We keep talking about the craziness of all this. There's a lot of money to be made for Dan Snyder, is there not?
Well, yes, there is. Beyond that, like, I mean, I get the aspect of it from a team loyalty standpoint, if you're putting aside the insensitivity to the people that this team name ultimately insults. But, like, beyond that, like, I just don't think to when you were opening this segment, you were talking about the polls you were conducting. Fans are not going to leave their loyalty to the team because, or enough fans, a lot of fans are not going to leave because the team name changes. Like, it's just not going to happen. So even if they say it's going to happen, they'll ultimately get over it. I mean, think about what happened a year ago when, or 2 years ago, when everybody said they're not going to watch the NFL anymore because of the anthem issue. That didn't actually happen. People say that they're going to boycott, and they don't. So if you're Dan Snyder, you got to be sitting there saying, I'm not going to lose fans. I'm going to be able to sell more merchandise. Ultimately, in a few years, people aren't going to care or remember that I changed the name. And you move on. I don't think it's necessarily as big of a deal, and I'm sure there's Redskins fans out there that say, I beg to differ. I just think in a few years, those fans are the most loyal ones, and they will stay by the organization's side.
He's Jeff Darlington. And by the way, Jeff, I don't think you're wrong. The first time that team goes on a massive run, even if you said you were out, suddenly they're in the Super
100%.
Bowl, you're pulling out your old gear. Jeff, I'm going to need you to live in bubble wrap. I'm going to need you to, like, walk everywhere completely surrounded. Whatever it takes to keep you healthy so that we can hang out this fall, my friend. I appreciate you joining
us.
Thanks so
it,
much.
Man. That sounds great. I will do just that.
I'm just picturing Jeff Darlington, always dapper in, like, the perfect suit, but he's got, like, perfectly fitted bubble wrap that's all around him from head to toe. Don't forget, ESPN Radio presented by Pennzoil Synthetic. Pennzoil Synthetic motor oils made from natural gas gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. This is a show where you guys get to have your voice, and I want you to have your voice now. Are you out? If your team changes their name, what is it that you root for? Is it the city? Is it the team name? Is it the mascot? I want to know your genuine thoughts on what, not what the Washington football team should do, but where your fandom lies. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll take some of your take. Plus, I'll give you my thoughts on the Washington team name and what's next for Daniel Snyder. That's all next. First Take Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys can hang out with us, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want your take on what you're rooting for. Is it the city name? Is it the team name? Is it the logo and color? I mean, if you're a fan of, let's say, the Buffalo Bills and they completely reinvent the way their entire jerseys look like, are you out? If they change the name of their mascot, are you out? Or if they move from city to city, are you out? What is the breaking factor? What is it that you root for? I think this is an interesting conversation as we take a look at the Washington football team and what's attempting to happen right there with the name change. Dennis in Toledo, what's your take?
My take is this. I follow the individual player. LeBron James was my man when he came out of Akron, St. Vincent, St. Mary's here in Ohio. And I'm an Ohio State Buckeye fan, too. But as I said, I follow the player. He's my guy, and I like the way he presented himself. I like the way he played. Then when he decided to go to Miami, now I became a Miami Heat fan because I'm a LeBron James fan. And all the people that burned up
and
his
Dennis,
jersey.
Thanks. I appreciate where you're I appreciate where it's coming from on Dennis. You're an NBA fan, right? And that's one of the things that really makes the NBA interesting is that it's about the players. That's why players can go anywhere in this market and do incredibly well for themselves. I think that's interesting for the NBA mindset. I'm not sure other sports are the same. Sean in Connecticut, what's your take?
Hey, how's it going, Jason? I grew up in Connecticut, and about, what was it, like 25 years ago, the Whalers were moved away from us, and I mean, here in Connecticut, you could still go online and find stuff like Peter Carmona's, his face with a harpoon through it. He is hated. We are devout Whalers fans and hate the fact that they were moved from here.
Let me ask you a follow-up, because I live in Connecticut now, Sean, and I feel this. If the Whalers had kept their name when they went to Carolina, would you have any fandom for them at that point?
No. No, they left here, and I hate them because of that. They were stolen from Connecticut.
That's fair. I mean, that is a roundabout. Like, that's the worst-case scenario. And believe me, when I moved to Connecticut, I was stunned by how much impact it still makes to the city as you continue to look across the board. And Whalers, he's right. Whaler stuff is all over the area of Connecticut and the airport. They sell it. I mean, it's everywhere up here. And there's still a loyal group of people that believe that essentially the team should come back. The NHL should give Hartford another team and rename it again, much like they did for Cleveland. A lot of people forget that the Ravens were the Browns, right? Like, the Browns moved back to Baltimore, or moved to Baltimore, I should say. And what they do? They figured out an expansion way to bring back the Browns so that Cleveland could keep their name and their city. It's an interesting component to all of this conversation, because when you start to think about what it means for particular teams, you have to look about what it is you root for. Right now, the poll that we have out there shows that the vast majority of you are rooting for a city, right? You're rooting for a location. I think that's going to depend on where you're from. If you grew up in and around the Washington area and you grew up a fan of the football team as a result of it, maybe it's all ingrained in your mindset. But we have to remember that most sports are global, which means there's a huge number of fans for every single team that have nothing to do with the city that that team plays in. It's one of the most lost parts of the discussion about teams and fandom in general, that people believe that you have to have gone to home games to be a super fan. You have to have lived in that area. You have to have grown up around it. I'm the living, breathing example of the opposite. My parents couldn't afford to take me to Raiders games when I was little. We lived in Vegas. We didn't have the means to do that. When I moved across country, I didn't have the opportunity to go see the Raiders play in L.A. or Oakland. Where they played never mattered to me. The city that they were in never mattered to me. But admittedly, the logo, the team name, that's part of what resonates for me. I don't know how I would feel if my favorite team, now moved to Vegas, also took on a new nickname. What keeps me with them? The difference here is this team is going to stay in Washington, and by staying in Washington, they eliminate a large portion of this conversation. Coming up next, how would you assess the social climate in sports today? You'll hear the answer. First, take your take.